Salt Lake County residents voice their complaints about a proposed tax hike. Salt Lake City welcomes immigrants, and a former state legislator switches parties. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, December 12th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Salt Lake County officials have been meeting over the past few weeks to try and mitigate a proposed property tax increase included in the county's 2013 budget. But dozens of Salt Lake County residents made it clear last night during a public hearing on the subject that they don't think they're looking hard enough. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
If you guys were broke, would have been nice to hear that before this past election.
Salt Lake County resident Wells Wagner told members of the county council that he and others were, quote, suckered into voting for a $50 million park bond, only to find out days later the county was asking for a property tax increase.
So I don't give a rat's what you say you can cut. And I would second that, a 16.2% decrease in our property taxes, the way you guys ought to go.
Salt Lake County's 2013 budget proposal includes a 16.2% hike, which amounts to roughly $59 a year for the average home. The original proposal was 17.5%, but was scaled down after members of the council found $2.5 million in cuts. Democratic Councilman Randy Horiuchi says even the slight dent that the council made in the initial tax increase was difficult.
We took every part of that budget and scrubbed it up and down until we were taking its hide off. And I mean, we literally got to know the budget very well this year, up close and personal. So the decisions that were made were really, I mean, we cut some things that were just crazy.
One of those cuts included the decision not to restore a 2% county contribution to employees' 401k plans. But the council's explanations didn't satisfy county resident Nate Jensen.
I looked over the budget. There's some of the line items I don't want to pay for. $30 million for grants, planetarium subsidy, Salt Palace subsidy, Southtown subsidy, equestrian park subsidy, fine arts subsidy, Salt Palace equipment. Come on, guys. There's some stuff that can be cut.
Outgoing Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon didn't address those specific budget items, but said despite the unfavorable comments, he doesn't expect any significant changes to the budget.
With 140,000 new people in the valley, with things like gas going up, double, triple what it was 12 years ago, at some point you have to increase taxes. It's not possible to never increase taxes, and we felt it was the time after 12 years.
Salt Lake County will hold a second public hearing this Thursday at 6 p.m. before the county council adopts the final budget. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
The Salt Lake City Council passed a unanimous resolution last night welcoming immigrants. It's the first resolution of its kind in Utah, and while it doesn't change immigration policies, Mayor Ralph Becker says the resolution does express the city's aspirations.
For me, the resolution is an extension of what we have been working on in many ways in terms of our policies and actions for the last several years, which is to let everyone know in our community that we are a welcoming, inclusive place. It's a reflection of what we aspire to be as a society.
The resolution comes from a national organization called Welcoming America. Similar welcoming resolutions have passed in cities and states across the country. Local affiliates say it's a symbolic step aimed at reducing tension and changing the dialogue surrounding immigration issues.
The Utah Republican Party is welcoming former Democratic State Representative Christine Watkins with open arms after her recent decision to join the GOP. Watkins, who has served her district in her price for 4 years, was considered a conservative Democrat in the legislature and often sided with Republicans on issues like energy development. Utah Republican Party Chairman Thomas Wright says those shared values are some of the reasons why Watkins decided to make the switch.
I think she looked at the platform and said, hey, I can represent all these values. In fact, I already have been. Why not just be a Republican so people will take me at face value for representing them? And I think she'll do quite well in the future in the Republican Party. We're happy to have her.
Democratic State Representative Jennifer Selig served with Watkins in minority leadership for the past 2 years. She says she's disappointed with the decision.
Well, when anyone leaves your team, it is an unfortunate circumstance.
Watkins was the last rural member of the Democratic caucus until losing her reelection bid to Republican Jerry Anderson.
A coalition of ranchers, environmentalists, and political leaders sent a letter to Governor Gary Herbert yesterday asking him not to sign a deal worked out with the state of Nevada to divide water rights in the Snake Valley. Steve Erickson represents the Great Basin Water Network. He told reporters at the Capitol the deal worked out 3 years ago should be scrapped and the state should negotiate a new one.
We have plenty of time to do further science and assess the potential damages from this project before we sign on the bottom line.
Alan Matheson, the governor's environmental advisor, says Herbert hasn't made up his mind yet whether to sign the agreement. A panel of attorneys that he had asked to review the deal says it does contain some protections for the state that wouldn't be available if he just ignores it or lets it go.
Foremost in the governor's mind is the protection of Utah's people, water, and environment. And that's the decision. It's not being based on any political considerations.
The deal was required by federal law as part of the Southern Nevada Water Authority's plan to pump groundwater from valleys in the Great Basin through a 300-mile pipeline to Las Vegas.
Towing icebergs from the Arctic is among the ideas being discussed at the Colorado River Water Users Association meeting in Las Vegas this week. The icebergs could help provide fresh water to western cities such as Las Vegas, Phoenix, and Denver. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar will talk to the media later today about the Colorado River Basin Water Supply and Demand Study, which will be released at the conference. Congressional auditors say the U.S. government reaps billions of dollars in royalties annually from oil and gas extracted from federal lands, but it does not collect any money from mines that produce gold, uranium, or other metals. The GAO report released today found the federal government simply doesn't know how much these hard rock mines produce from public lands. Hard rock mining is regulated by a different federal law, and mine operators say they contribute plenty with the taxes they pay on their operations. Governor Gary Herbert is asking President Barack Obama to approve the health insurance exchange Utah already has in place and declare that it meets the requirements of the federal health overhaul. Herbert sent the letter Tuesday ahead of Friday's deadline for states to decide if they'll do their own exchange. Utah's exchange was launched on a limited basis in 2009 and fully implemented 2 years later. Critics of Utah's plan say it was not designed to significantly reduce the number of uninsured in the state. Two Utah school districts that were finalists for millions of dollars in Race to Top federal education grants aren't on the list of winners. Salt Lake City and Ogden school districts were among 61 applicants on the U.S. Department of Education shortlist, but the districts didn't make the final list announced Tuesday. 16 districts or groups of schools won the money, including the Carson City School District in Nevada and St. Vrain Valley Schools in Colorado. 13 people have been indicted after a federal investigation of fraud in the food stamp program that targeted two markets in Ogden. Court documents say clerks at the market would ask shoppers using state benefit cards to buy a small item and then give them cash back for the remaining balance on the card. The National Transportation Safety Board has concluded that a distracted driver and a truck with bad brakes were the probable cause of a fiery collision with an Amtrak passenger train last year in northern Nevada. Six people died in the accident and more than a dozen were injured. The NTSB also concluded that weak walls in the train's passenger cars likely contributed to the deaths and injuries. And finally, a Utah State University physics professor has been chosen as the next president of Chicago's Adler Planetarium. Michelle Larson will be the ninth president of Adler and the first woman to hold the job. Her election was announced yesterday evening. She starts in the position January 1st. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, December 12th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.